Hello, good people. Welcome back for another episode of the Inner Beauty Reigns podcast. This is your host, Erica Anderson, and today we are going to talk about some dating rules. I was recently scrolling social media and came across a post where a young lady shared the experience where she went on a date with this person. They had met online, talked for about a week. I don't remember if she said on the day of or whenever it was, but basically the guy reached out and said that there was a change of plans. And ultimately they ended up at someone's house and she was propositioned for sex and was even sexually assaulted because she explained, you know, she gave a detailed account of, you know, certain things he did. And so these dating rules that I'm about to share, two of them I actually commented on the post. And so I'm going to turn this particular podcast into an ebook. So make sure you go to the website and sign up for the email list so that you are first to know when that ebook drops. I expect to drop it within the next few days because, you know, dating is something that will probably never go away. With the advancement of technology, you know, that will probably, you know, change. But for the most part, what we see now is what we have seen for quite some time as far as online dating. And so we know when it comes to online dating, you have to be careful. You have to vet people. Anybody that I have ever met online regarding, you know, just the dating aspect of things, I always run a background check on people. I always use Intellius.com, and I have held a subscription for a number of years at different points. And so it has always been important to me to do that when it comes to meeting people online, because I want to know if there's anything in your background that would deter me from dating you or getting to know you. Felonies are typically a hard no for me. Specifically like sex-related crimes, felonious drug charges, all those types of things are a deal breaker for me. I have children. I have built certain aspects of my life in a way that I don't need them torn down by someone who doesn't care about how they live their life. So that's just my standard. But I strongly encourage you, if you are into online dating and just dating in general, because I believe that we live in a time where it's not unreasonable to check the background of anybody that you choose to date, especially if you are intending to have a serious relationship with people. You know, like, it's important to know different details about their background. So Intellius.com has been my source for a number of years on checking people's background. But anyway, so dating rule number one that I put on this post is that there is no change of plans without there being a detailed account of those changes. So when the young lady shared that the guy reached out and said that there was a change of plans, you know, in my mind, a reasonable change of plans would be the restaurant that I booked the reservation at overbooked, and I don't want us to have to wait longer than a certain amount of time, so we're gonna go to this restaurant, not that one. Or let's just say maybe he had car trouble and is going to be late, or maybe wanted to send you a car, or, you know, instead, like, I'll send you a car so you can meet me at the restaurant. You know, those are reasonable changes. And the gentleman that I know personally would make reasonable accommodations if something happened that would affect the time, because they respect your time, right? So a reasonable accommodation for something like that is not unheard of, right? But in this case, with the young lady who shared the story, the guy that she was going on this first date with, and I make the distinction that this is a first date, although I don't think this is acceptable for any date, which we'll get into that in rule number two. He had someone in the car, and so she decided to just ride along with them while he, quote unquote, did what needed to be done as far as helping this person, and ended up being driven to that person's house and then propositioned for sex. Anytime the changes or the, yeah, the, like there's a change in the date, whether it's the location or time or whatever, you have a right to know that information up front. You do not have to allow for surprises on a first date. Oh my gosh. Like, there's the element of common sense, first of all. But I also understand that common sense isn't common. But let's talk about discretion and discernment. If something doesn't sound right, if things don't look right, you do not have to follow suit. If there's the potential for you to be hurt or put in danger's way, in this case, you're already getting in the car with a stranger, not one stranger, but two strangers, because you don't know either of them. And it makes me think about years ago, there was a house in a neighborhood that I used to live in, and basically someone was invited to the house, but they brought a guest that they did not inform the homeowner that they were bringing. They bring this guest, something pops off at the house, and the guest shoots and kills somebody in the house. Now, I don't remember all of the details surrounding that story, but ultimately the person who wasn't invited was the person who incited the problem. It's not okay. So anytime you are in a situation where there's extra people that you don't know, if you're uncomfortable, it's okay. And here's the thing, because I think sometimes people feel obligated to speak. When I say speak up, we're not talking about defending yourself if something's going wrong. I'm just talking about the aspect of informing somebody. Let's just say, for example, you walk up to the car and you see that there's a person sitting in the passenger seat and you were expecting to be the only person on this date. Oh, hey, how you doing? I don't think that this is what I'd like to do right now, or I'm sure there are better words, but I'm recording this at 3 a.m. so my words are escaping me a little bit. But at the end of the day, there's a diplomatic way of saying, you know what, I'm good, thank you for coming by, I'll call you tomorrow, or we'll chat another time. Or better yet, you even have the option to not contact that person at all again. Now, I don't necessarily recommend ghosting, but you know, some people would feel like they don't owe an explanation at all to that person, because how dare you show up to pick me up with another person in the car without explaining to me beforehand why said person is in the car. You don't have an obligation to entertain that, because that is not what the setup was supposed to be. But again, it goes back to discretion and discernment, because if something doesn't seem right, you don't have any obligation to participate. So rule number two, if the guy had something that needed to be handled, he should have done that on his own time. So if he had to help somebody, if he's had something he needed to do, something he needed to handle, that's something that he should have done on his own time prior to the quote unquote attempt to take her on a date. Because based on how the story ended, it didn't seem to me like he ever had any intentions on taking her on a date outside of a house. Sounds to me like he knew what he wanted, and he basically set the situation up so that it would potentially work out in his favor. And luckily, the young lady made it home safely. You know, if this is a real story, because, you know, people be trolling online. Like, people, the skits, there's so much going on online. Sometimes it's very obvious that it's a skit or that it's, you know, a story that's being made up. And based on the way that she was kind of, it sounded like she may have been reading something. I don't know. But I also try to be careful about discrediting women when they share these types of stories, because we have enough doubt that is inflicted upon us whenever we share these stories in the first place. So it's possible it could have been scripted. We don't know. But at the end of the day, it brings up an important topic that needs to be discussed. And so at the end of it all, if he had something to handle, he should have done it on his own time. You're not obligated to accept a date with somebody if they aren't ready. If they're not ready to spend time with you, then let's reschedule. And yes, I do think it would have been jacked up if in the moment, you know, he popped up and, you know, and she refused. No, I don't think it's messed up that she would have refused to go, but I think it's messed up that he would pop that on her at the last minute, because that's not fair. That's not respecting somebody's time. But she never should have gotten into that car. That's just how I feel about it. You show up to my house to pick me up, or wherever to pick me up, and you have another person in the car. No, I'm not going. Where are we going? Who is this? Like, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I think a lot of times women also end up in these situations because we're too afraid to ask questions. And a part of it is being concerned that we're going to be hurt in the process of getting those questions answered. Or we don't want people to be mad at us. I believe that when we are in our unevolved state, in our unhealed state, that is when we tolerate and execute those things the most. The not asking the questions, the being concerned that, oh, well, he's not going to want to go on a date with me if I ask too many questions. Forget that. And that ain't the word I want to use. But at the end of the day, your safety is what's more important. So if you have to ask questions, ask all the questions. And if somebody is frustrated with you asking questions, well, then they don't deserve to go on a date with you anyway. Because why are my questions a problem? Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to speak your mind. And if you are not in a place where you can do either of those things, get to a place where you can, and don't date until you are there. Because this is about your safety. This is about your life. This is about preserving your life. And I think a lot of times, and this isn't about victim shaming or victim blaming or anything like that, but the truth of the matter is, if we were more intentional in cultivating our discernment, if we were more intuitive, if we were more trusting of ourselves, we would avoid these situations, because our intuition is always going to let us know. But that's when we allow it. That's when we peel back those layers of trauma and unpack and deal with those layers of trauma that cover our ability to discern, if that makes sense. So if you feel like something shouldn't be going down when you're dating somebody, or something doesn't feel right, or something feels off, exit stage left. Make sure somebody knows where you are. With the advancements in technology, there's no reason why you don't have some sort of app on your phone. Whether it's, if you have an iPhone, Find My will allow you to share your location with someone indefinitely. That way you don't have to manage whether or not somebody knows your location every time you go somewhere or go on a date. And I know some people like, I don't need nobody to know my location at all times. You're gonna have to get over yourself, because it's about your safety. And don't get it twisted, I was there once too. I don't need anybody knowing where I am at all times. Well, so I do now. I do now. I need someone to know where I am. It don't even just have to be about the dating aspect of things. If I get sick and fall out, somebody knows where my last location was. It doesn't, like, we live in a time where it is necessary for you to have a point of contact with whom you can share these things, so that if something, if anything goes down with you, you have somebody who knows where you are or where you were. Okay. So tip number three, we're going to talk about taking things slow. Okay. You don't have to rush into anything. Okay. I made this mistake with a relationship that I had, and I was excited about this person, attracted to this person, excited about the possibilities with this person. And when I look back on how fast things progressed, I remember feeling like, you know, why do we need to move so fast? And even posing that question to this person, because like, why do we need to move so fast? Especially because I have children. That's something that I've always been hyper aware of. But I made an exception for this person because they had children too. So in my mind, because this was a working person who, you know, had a consistent work schedule, I always knew where they were and, you know, not necessarily what they were doing, but just knowing like when they were in town, when they were out of town, and, you know, knowing like what they, like when they were with me, they were with me, like engrossed, like engaged. And so, you know, I don't remember how much time went by, but finally I decided to let them, you know, meet the kids and, you know, come into my home and that whole thing. And everything was okay until some things in my life unraveled. And then they hit checked out. They completely checked out. And I remember asking them, you know, like, hey, is everything okay? I, you know, just want to make sure everything is good, because the energy has shifted. And he led me on for several weeks that everything was okay, but I could tell by the lack of the interaction, the lack of engagement, that things weren't what they were before. And finally, one day, you know, I called because I was very unsettled about things. And this is that discernment that I talked about, just that when you feel unsettled, there's a reason why you feel that way. And especially if you feel it in your gut. And so, of course, if you've been following me and you know that I'm a certified human design analyst, one of the things that a manifesting generator does when they are in alignment is you have these gut feelings that let you know like something isn't right about this, or yes, this is the direction that you should go. And you literally feel it within your body. Like if you ask yourself a question, like, is this okay? Like your spirit is going to let you know. Your gut, your spirit, your intuition, all of those words are used interchangeably because they're referring to the same thing. But once you have that feeling, you can trust that feeling. That's a part of you trusting yourself. That is a part of the process of trusting yourself. But you don't ever have to rush things when it comes to relationships or dating. You go as slow as you need to go. Don't let people rush you into making decisions or into a situation that you don't really want to be in. Because for me, once I broke up with that person and I looked back over everything, I could definitely agree within myself that things moved way too fast. And maybe they checked out because they knew that they weren't there mentally, spiritually. So why even waste the time? But what I also realized from that situation is that there were some deeper things beneath the surface that it took some time for me to, like, the healing process from that was one that revealed those things to me. And sometimes we have these experiences as lessons. But what you don't want is for those lessons to be life-altering to the point that, you know, it does significant damage or even takes your life. Because we know that, you know, there are always stories in the news about things that happen. So you just want, it's about preserving your life. Take your time. You don't have to rush into anything with anybody because it could literally be a matter of life or death. All right. So rule number four is about setting boundaries and respecting them. Okay. So we touched on this a bit with rule number one in the fact that it addresses, you know, there not being a change of plans without there being a detailed account of the changes, right? Well, that's a boundary. Okay. But ultimately, you want to be intentional about setting boundaries. If you have a schedule, if you have a lifestyle, if you have children, if you have circumstances, situations, a job, whatever it is, set your boundaries and stick to them. Because at the end of the day, what I believe a lot of people don't realize is that your life is your life. You own your life, right? And so whatever happens in your life, in your world, in your bubble is your business. So when other people come along and incite things or invite things or try to project things into the life that you've built for yourself, it's up to you to let them know what's okay and what's not. If you have a certain schedule that you have for, let's just say, like, just your everyday routine where, you know, you get up, you have certain things that you do, and then you go to work, and then when you get off work, you have certain things that you do, and then you go to bed by a certain time. You don't let someone come along and dictate what your schedule should be just because they're present in your life. You get to choose how that person shows up in your life. And if they don't want to comply, then that lets you know that they don't respect your boundaries. And it's okay to sever ties with that person or to set some boundaries around the communication. Let's just say you have somebody who likes to talk on the phone for long periods of time, but you're in school studying to become a doctor. I have to study. I have something that I need to go do. I'll talk to you later. And if they can't respect that, move on. I think that's one of the most important things that you can do when someone isn't respecting your boundaries, like, and continuously. It's you respect the boundaries or I'm moving on, because you don't have an obligation to accommodate somebody who is not respecting your boundaries. That makes me think about a situation where I got sexually assaulted, and I actually didn't intend to share this, but I feel led to share it now because of this particular rule that I'm sharing. So I knew this guy, we, you know, went on a date, ended up hanging out, and I knew what my intentions were and I knew what I wanted for that evening, but that did not match what his plans and his desires were. And so there was a point where he had kissed me. It was a very sweet kiss, and I allowed the kiss and I enjoyed the kiss. But when he attempted to do anything beyond that, I made it clear, that's not what I came for. I'm not interested in that. If we can't chill and talk, then, you know, I have to go. And he even made a statement saying, if, you know, if you want to go, and he wasn't being rude, but I'm just like, he did let me know that if I didn't feel safe, that, you know, he was okay with me leaving. He wasn't putting me out. He didn't say it in those words, but it was just, you know, I don't want you to feel like you're not safe. I think that was before he had another glass of wine, or I don't remember what he was drinking, but ultimately he gave me the idea that I was safe and that everything would be okay. But within 15-20 minutes, he was back to doing what he wanted to do. But at this point, because I had gone to use the bathroom, came out, was washing my hand, because the sink and the toilet and shower were in one room, and I say one room, but it was like behind a door, and then the sink was in this area that was by the closet, right across from the actual bathroom. So it was like an entire area that made up the bathroom, but the toilet and the shower was behind the door. So anyway, I came out of the bathroom and I was standing at the sink washing my hands. And by the time I was done washing my hands, he was standing directly behind me. And so I think you understand where I'm going with this. It did not end in a way that I felt good about. And I was, I don't even know what word to use. I'm in a much better place now than I was 3 months ago, a better place than I was 6 months ago. So like as time goes on, I continue to heal from that experience. But in spite of being told that I could leave if I didn't feel okay about things, he continued to push and prod and do what he wanted to do until he got what he wanted. And I let it happen out of fear that I wouldn't make it out that door and home to see my children again. And it's a very awkward thing to have to live through. Because I'm awake and coherent. I wasn't drunk. I was, I guess, I don't even know what word to use. Very disappointed. Very disappointed, because we're not and I don't think age matters when it comes to sexual assault. Like, you're wrong. You're wrong if you do it, no matter the capacity in which you do it. But I just felt like this man was too old to be doing what he did. And it was very conniving, in my opinion. After the fact, I concluded that he knew what he was going to do. And he led me on to believe that I was safe, but he knew what he wanted to do. And so that led me to reassess my boundaries when it came to dating. Like, no, I can't go to your house. Definitely not on the first date, but not on the second, third, or fourth date either. As a matter of fact, I choose when I'm comfortable to go to your home, if I ever choose to go to your home. It was a very, very just eye-opening experience that changed how I choose to date. And there are very strict boundaries around what I'm willing to do, especially if I don't know you. I've also had dating experiences where, you know, it was people that I knew from, you know, 20 years ago. And it was a, hey, you know, let's hang out. Or it's not necessarily hanging out, because I think that word is, that set of words doesn't describe necessarily what I do, but just the element of spending time with someone to get to know them in a much different capacity than we knew each other in our teens or our 20s. So, you know, now I just have some very specific standards around dating and what I'm willing to do. And I am unafraid to communicate those things. So that brings me to number four. Don't be afraid to communicate. Don't be afraid to say what you want. Don't be afraid to make requests. Don't be afraid to speak your mind. What I've noticed is that the only man who has an issue with you speaking your mind is the man who wanted to manipulate you. The only man who doesn't want you to speak your mind is the man who wants to take advantage of you. The only man who doesn't want you to speak your mind is the man who thinks that he's supposed to control you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about speaking your mind from the perspective of just being opinionated and inciting arguments or being difficult. And I'm not here to define what it means to be difficult outside of just being unreasonable. Because I think that sometimes women are classified as difficult when they won't give in or when they can't be controlled. And I don't think that that's being difficult. I think that that's choosing not to be manipulated. But I just think it's so important that you are vocal about things, because we look at some of the different scenarios that have come up in public news in the last several years, and how women became vocal about things more so after something happened to them. Sometimes that becoming vocal, like in that respect, is the result of understanding that you can help somebody else to avoid what you went through. And so I do believe that that is a part of the importance of speaking up, because you inspire somebody else to speak up. But don't just do it because it inspires somebody else. Do it because it preserves your life, because that's a part of the foundation of it, right? And we talk about that communication, be open and be honest. Because really, at the end of the day, communication is the foundation of healthy relationships. And when you're open, when you're honest about your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, this allows you to get what you need. I follow a woman named April Mason, and I love what she teaches, because it's not about getting a man. It's about making sure that you are the best woman you can be for the man that you desire. And so when you are intentional about knowing how to communicate your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, and all of those things, you can attract the person who can accommodate those things for you, the person who's a match for you. And it's equally as important to listen. People think communication is about talking, but no, communication is a two-way street. It requires listening, probably more than it requires talking, because effective listening skills allow you to understand things on a level where you can execute in a way that is mutually beneficial for you and your partner. So you listen to their perspectives and their boundaries and what they have to say, but don't forget to express your own. The last thing I want to say, or rule number 5, I guess we'll call it, is to be yourself. I don't really feel like that needs to be explained. Being authentic is the key to success in your life, in all areas of your life. When you show up as the fullness of who you were created to be, this world is a better place. When you are true to yourself, this allows that other person to see the real you. This allows them to understand exactly what they're getting into. And your authenticity shouldn't be contingent upon whether or not that other person is being authentic. You be you on purpose because you are you. Show them what they're missing out on, because nobody can be you better than you. You were created. Let me tell you something. This is one of the reasons why I got into human design, because you have a unique energetic blueprint. No one else was created to be you, to be like you. This is why they say imitation is the highest form of flattery. Because when you copy somebody else's style, you're saying, I think you're better than me. No, learn how to tap into the fullness of who you were created to be. Because you are dope in your own right. Respect your own brilliance. Respect your own path. And if you don't feel like your path is the path that should be followed, or you don't feel like your life is worth living, let me tell you something. There's no one else like you. No one else who can do what you were put on this earth to do. And if you don't feel adequate as an individual, or you're full of self-doubt, we need to connect. We need to talk. I need to help you understand your human design. I need to help you understand your dopeness, because that's ultimately what human design is about. Helping you to understand your dopeness. Helping you to understand who you were created to be, what your energetic blueprint is, what your roadmap to life is. You have your own unique path to be followed. And on that path is a very unique version of you that is what was intended for you to show up in this life as. So make sure you go to innerbeautyreigns.com so that you can schedule your human design reading. I actually did not do this podcast to promote human design, but since we're here now, because I wrote these down and I didn't even consider that aspect of authenticity, but since it ties in, the shoe fits, put it on, walk it out. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Again, I am going to turn this particular podcast into an ebook, so make sure you go to the website and sign up for the email notification so that you will know when it drops. I will talk to y'all in the next episode.